Today we are studying Perek Dalet, the fourth chapter of Sefer Yeshayahu, which has the interesting characteristic of being quite a short chapter, only six verses long. It is a continuation of the ideas expressed in Prakim Bet and Gimel, in the sense that Bet and Gimel are the negative. They describe the elimination of the proud and arrogant people of various classes. In Perek Gimel, the proud leaders, and then the proud women. On the other hand, Perek Dalet has a positive message. It describes what will happen after the proud and arrogant people have been removed. It is, in a sense, the first chapter in Sefer Yeshayahu that seems to refer to a good period after a bad period. It is, in some small sense, a chapter of Nechama. And it begins with the stereotypical phrase, Bayom Hahu, on that day. Since the chapter is so short, we will be able to look at some of the various ways in which some of the psukim in this chapter have been interpreted. By Yom Hahu, the chapter begins, after the removal of all of the proud leaders and all of the proud women, Yetzemach Hashem litzvi ulchavod, ufri haaretz legaon ultifeeret. Let's look at the first phrase. Yetzemach Hashem litzvi ulchavod, literally, the plant of God will become something desirable and something honorable. What is this plant of Hashem, this plant of the Lord? Well, Rashi comments here and understands the plant of Hashem and the continuation of the phrase, the fruit of the land, both as references to tzaddikim and chachamim. But a more interesting and perhaps more linguistically typical interpretation is offered by the Targum and by the Radak, both of whom note that Tzemach Hashem refers to the Mashiach. This is very interesting because it would be the very first reference to the Messianic figure in Sefer Yeshayahu. Why would Tzemach Hashem mean the Mashiach, the plant of the Lord? The word Tzemach is used in Zechariah to refer specifically to some future inheritor of the Davidic monarchy. And the word Tzemach is also used in Phoenician texts to refer to the crown prince, the one who will inherit the throne. And so Tzemach tends to mean some future king. And so it suggests here the interpretation that both the Targum and the Radak here offer, that Tzemach is Mashiach ben David. So on that day, says the prophet, Tzemach Hashem, future Mashiach, will be desired and honored. Ufri haaretz, the fruit of the land. Here the Radak understands fruit of the land also as a development of this plant, and in that sense as an expression referring to the Mashiach. Ufri haaretz, the messianic figure, will be legaon ultiferet, will be something that is high or chief, ultiferet, that is raised up, lifleitat Yisrael, for the remainder of Israel. The Mashiach will begin as something that is desired and honored, and will continue as something that is raised up and that is chief for those remaining members of Israel. The Radak comments as follows in explaining this pasuk. Mitchila yeh kmo ha-tzemach ha-yafeh she-yismach ha-adam bir-oto. At the beginning, the Mashiach will be like a light, nice plant that a person is happy when they see it. U-kshe-hagia li-yot peri, when he achieves fruit, as if the tree that achieves fruit, yehenu od bimenu v'yismachu bo-yoter. They will even enjoy him more, and they'll be even happier about him. So too, Melech HaMashiach. At the beginning, they will be happy about him. Ve'achar ken, kshe'yaseh ma'aseh v'yinatzeach milchemet Gog u'Magog. But later on, when he fights wars, and wins in the battle against Gog and Magog, the archenemies of God, yasim ha'aretz shalva u'shketa, and when he will create peace in the world, because the whole world will fear him, then he will be legaon ultiferet. He will be a source of pride and a source of chiefness for Israel over other nations. And so the Radak understands this pasuk as referring to the advent of Mashiach, who will at the beginning be desired, and then will allow Israel to be chief over nations. The only problem with this interpretation is that it doesn't quite fit with the next pasuk. It doesn't quite fit into the context, because the next pasuk speaks about those who remain in Sion and those who remain in Yerushalayim after God will have removed all the proud and arrogant people. And so a somewhat more contextual interpretation of who this Tzemach Hashem and Pri Haaretz, this plant of the Lord and the fruit of the land are, is offered by another of the Rishonim, whose commentary for many years remained in manuscript and is now available in the Bar Ilan edition of Mikraot Gedolot. This is Rabbi Eliezer Mibalagansi, a French scholar from the Middle Ages, and he writes as follows. Bayom hahu yetzemach Hashem, and he understands this tzemach Hashem as the plant that will grow in Zion. Who is that plant that will grow in Zion? Hu ha'am ha'nolad ba, acharei hikaret mimena haga'avanim. This is the people who are born in Zion after the proud and arrogant ones are removed. L'tzvil chavod, for honor desire and honor, l'kadosh baruch hu, sheichu bad bahem, that God will be respected through those who remain in Zion after God has removed the arrogant and proud. In other words, those who are deserving of God, being allowed to remain in Zion. And this, here he says, refers to those who lived at the time of Bayit Sheni. Ufri ha'aretz, fruit of the land, those refers to those who are born to those who returned at the time of Bayit Sheni. And this fits nicely into the next pasuk. V'haya ha'nish'ar b'tzion v'anotar b'Yerushalayim kadoshi ya'mer lo kol ha'katuv l'chaim b'Yerushalayim. All those who remain in Zion and are left in Jerusalem, about them will be said kadosh, that they are holy, those who are fated for life in Jerusalem. Those who are upon whom God decreed that they will live because of their good deeds are deserving of being called kadosh. The verse implies quite clearly that a very great cleansing and a very great removal of all the evildoers will take place before the achieving of this Bayom Hahu described in our chapter. And that is also implied by the continuation. Pasuk Dalet, Im rachatz Hashem et so'at benot Zion, ודמי ירושלים ידיח מקרבה, ברוח משפט וברוח באר. The pasuk begins with when God, and here im has to be translated as when, not if, when God will remove the filth of the daughters of Zion, and the blood of Jerusalem he will wash out from its midst, with a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire, ברוח משפט וברוח באר. This removal of guilt, this removal of iniquity and the dirt that symbolizes iniquity, here is indicated by a spirit of mishpat and a spirit of ba'er. A spirit of mishpat is quite well understood, but a spirit of ba'er has to be understood as a spirit of removal, a spirit of burning. It is interesting that it refers back to the way the word ba'er was used in Perek Gimel, where it referred to the people, to the leaders, acting disgracefully and abusively towards the population, described them as Va'atem bi'artem hakerem, you have grazed in the vineyard. Here, that very same root ba'er, which has many meanings, is here used to refer not to grazing, but to removal. And perhaps removal through fire. And in that sense, it is God who is here acting to remove the arrogance and the pride of the people, which Yeshayahu sees here as a source of iniquity and guilt, and specifically here represents it as a type of filth and a type of blood. This leads us to the concluding psukim of our chapter, psukim Hei and Vav, which describe the glorious situation which will obtain after the removal of this guilt and of this arrogance. Uvara Hashem al kol machon har tzion va'al mikra'eha anan yomam ve'ashan. God will create upon that which is founded on Mount Zion and all that which is called there a cloud by day with smoke, v'noga esh lehava layla, and a radiant fire, a radiant flame of fire at night. Ki al kol kavod chupa, for on all this glorious scene will be a canopy. The pasuk is fascinating, and the Radak comments upon it that it refers to kavod ha'el, the honor of God or the presence of God, which will rest and remain above Jerusalem by day in the form of a cloud, by night in the form of fire. This is particularly interesting because it clearly evokes an image from Chumash, which we know well. It is the image of the fire that is present in the camp of the Jews at night, with the cloud present by day. This image first appears in Parshat Beshalach, right before the Jews crossed the Red Sea. As the Jews in the Exodus from Egypt depart from Sukkot and reach the place known as Etam, which is one of their last stopping places before they get to the Red Sea. Sefer Shmot, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 21 says, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk 21 says, Va'ashem holech lifneihem yomam be'amud anan lanchotam haderech ve'layla be'amud esh lahair lahem lalechet yomam v'layla. God went before them by day in a cloud to show them the way, and at night with a pillar of fire to give them light, to go day and night. Clearly here, the cloud which shows them the way by day is not meant to give them light, as Rashi points out. The cloud, rather, is a sign that God is going before them, as Rashi comments here. V'akadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo molicho lifneihem. God himself is causing this cloud to pass before them. The cloud is an emissary from God, which indicates that he is present before the people. The cloud is a palpable, or perhaps more accurately, a visible sign of God's presence, that God is walking before the people. This cloud and this fire are also present at the very conclusion of Sefer Shmot, when the Mishkan has already been established. The last psukim of Sefer Shmot speak about the presence of God in the Mishkan as represented by the cloud and by the fire. Ki anan Hashem al Mishkan yomam, ve'esh tiye laila bo. For the cloud of God was upon the Mishkan by day, and fire was in it at night. La'enei kol beit Yisrael b'chol ma'aseihem, in the sight of all the Israelites during all their journeys. And so the cloud and the fire function in Sefer Shmot as a sign of God's presence among the Jewish people. And they function in a very similar way in Sefer Yeshayahu. They indicate that God is present in this new Jerusalem, which will exist after God has removed all the proud and all the arrogant. In this new Jerusalem, which is populated by those who survived the purge, and about whom it is said that they are kadosh. This new Jerusalem will have in it God's presence indicated by a cloud by day and by fire by night, just as the Jews were privileged to have in their march through the desert during the period of Yitziat Mitzrayim. How do we today indicate and show our remembrance of our march through the desert during Yitziat Mitzrayim, accompanied by God's presence in the form of the cloud and the fire? Well, the way we do that is the holiday of Sukkot, which fundamentally commemorates our march through the desert, as the verse in Vayikra states, Lema'an yed'u dorotechem, ki vasukkot hoshavti et b'nei Yisrael, in order that your generations shall know that I caused you to live in Sukkot when you left Egypt. What does it mean that God caused us to live in Sukkot? Well, that question is debated in the Gemara. One opinion is that God caused us to dwell in actual physical huts. But there is another opinion which states that these sukkot that the Pasuk speaks about in Vayikra are clouds of glory. And what are clouds of glory but the anan, which indicates that Kavod Hashem is present among the people? There is, we should note, the phrase Ananei HaKavod, which appears in the Gemara in the interpretation of the phrase Sukkah, doesn't actually appear anywhere in Chumash. The phrase that in Chumash we find is the Anan, which indicates Kavod Hashem. The phrase Ananei HaKavod is never mentioned. And so that Anan is associated in Jewish consciousness with the Sukkah that we live in on the holiday of Sukkot. One of the connections between the Anan and Sukkah is found here in our chapter in Sefer Yeshayahu. Because while Pasuk Hei, which we just studied, speaks about the Anan, and it speaks about the Anan as indicating God's presence by day, while the fire serves that function at night, the very next Pasuk speaks about a Sukkah. V'sukkah tihye l'tzel yomam mechorev ul'machseh ul'mistor mizerem umimatar. A sukkah will function as a shade by day from the drying heat of the sun, ul'machseh ul'mistor mizerem umimatar, and as a shelter and a hiding place from the rain and from the intense rain. Zerem is a more intense rain. Matar is a somewhat less intense rain. So the sukkah functions here as a sort of protection. Well, why is that protection so very necessary here? That protection perhaps is connected to the presence of God among the people. God's presence is not only spiritual, it also provides a certain level of physical protection to the people. These psukim are explicitly connected to the mitzvah of sukkah. In the Gemara, in Masechet Sukkah, Daf Bet Amud Aleph, where Rabbi Zera notes this very pasuk and sees it as one of the sources for the defining the mitzvah of sukkah, specifically for the height of a sukkah, so one has to be able to see the shade of the sukkah. And so, in these psukim in Yeshayahu, the mention of sukkah, together with the mention of the cloud of God, the cloud of God by day and the fire at night, serve as a unified symbol indicating God's presence among the people for spiritual purposes, as well as his physical protection of the people from the elements. V'sukkah tihye l'tzel yomam mechorev ul'machseh ul'mistor mizerem umimatar. We're not explicitly told that God will provide the sukkah. We're simply told that we will have a sukkah for shade by day and for protection from the rain. Why a sukkah? Why not a house? Perhaps it is here that idea that a sukkah indicates a more refined and delicate type of protection, which allows us to more directly connect with God and with his protection of the Jewish people in the desert. And it is perhaps for that reason that the idea of sukkah directly calls us back to the protection of Ananei HaKavod, the clouds of glory, which served not primarily for physical protection of the Jewish people, but as a reminder of God's presence among them.